Hey everybody, welcome to My OP Movies. This week we are talking Scooby-Doo, the original with Matthew Lillard and Shaggy, and a bunch of garbage. That's not totally true. Velma's pretty good, but the rest is just, oh gosh. Oh, it's Gen X nonsense mixed in with cynicism and weird, bad, terrible, just trust me, great episode. Thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing, thanks for downloading, thanks for sharing, thanks for reviewing, please review us. Also, if you're interested, follow my book podcast, Required Reading. Thanks, guys. Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we are watching Kids' Choice Award winner for loudest fart in a movie, Scooby-Doo 2002.
Who's Scooby-Doo the poor bastard that 2002? Has to, like, measure that?
I imagine it's kids voting, and they will vote for farts. No. I tell you what, Jeremy. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, Riffer on Cineprom, which has a Patreon, and we're still not live. I don't know what order we're doing these in, but I'm going to stop saying we're back, baby, because it's never going to happen. COVID is never going to end. On panel, we have
Matthew W. Quinn, Atlanta author and awesome dude.
Jeremy.
By the way, Matt is always reluctant to plug himself. This is going to come out after.
It's the 21st century. Guys plug themselves all the time.
That's right. Matt is not doing he did cons throughout the fall. This is coming out in January. Follow his blog, according to Quinn, and he will post where he is going to be there. So, guys, we're talking about a Scooby-Doo movie. How many of you saw this in theaters?
Nope.
No? Nope. Really? I'm the only guy who got suckered. I was a huge Scooby-Doo guy.
I was not.
I was, but I eventually got tired of it every time it was some dude in a suit trying to scam someone.
Yeah, like, the Scooby-Doo universe cartoon-wise must have been like some post-apocalyptic capitalist nightmare. Like, everyone's like a real estate guy trying to steal land from someone else by convincing the populace there's a ghost. It's really bizarre.
And how often is that scam? There are a bunch of kids going to bust them doing that scam before everyone just gives up.
Well, and they kind of joke about that in this movie.
Oh, yeah. How many times has this happened? 12?
Yeah, well. The original show, for you guys who don't know, is contained on, like, two DVDs. There's only, like, 20 episodes of the original show, which, when we were kids, all TBS and then eventually Comedy Central had was the old Hanna-Barbera archives. So if you watch TV for, like, a month and a half, you've seen every episode of Scooby-Doo.
Weren't there other spin-off series? Because I think it was Scrappy later.
Yeah, we'll get to Scrappy. But essentially, every 10 years, Hanna-Barbera would just bring them back. Like, so this show originally started in the 60s, and then in the 70s is when we get all those weird guest star movies, like Scooby-Doo and the Harlem Globetrotters.
Or Sonny and Cher.
Sonny and Cher, or Batman, Adam West and such.
Uh-huh.
Batman is one of those movies where, like, it was in development hell forever, so, like, we have to keep relevant by showing up on things, and so Adam West would just appear.
So did the Fantastic Four show up?
God, those Hanna-Barbera shows. Like, if we ever bring back the animation stuff, we should just watch that animated Fantastic Four show, which was awful, alongside Hong Kong Phooey, which
they reference Hong Kong Phooey in this movie.
We should have done this last year, but we didn't because we're usually pretty bad at planning things. So we've gotten better. Did either of you see that Scoob movie that came out last year?
No.
See, I have a child, so I did, and I saw it 75 times. and that was weaning her off of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which we also saw 75 times.
Hey, sequel's coming out next year?
For which one? Both. No.
Sonic. Yeah.
And you know what? Jim Carrey was good in Sonic. So,
yeah.
I mean, James Marsden was James Marsden. He was exactly James Marsden.
And that's all you need him to be.
So, yeah. So he played so Cyclops charming. Just without his glasses.
But that's it. He's the same character there. He's just like, I'm sad that I'm not Wolverine. And here he is, I'm sad that I'm not Sonic. But he's fine. He's totally fine. I will see Sonic 2 because my daughter will want to see Sonic 2. And
hey, Sonic is the best video game adaptation next to Mortal Kombat.
And those are the only two video game adaptations I've liked.
The first, the original. The original.
The remake in 2018 or 2019.
2020. It's like one of the first movies I saw this year.
Too grim, too gritty. It doesn't understand that the game is supposed to be silly.
Yeah.
Because the game, a guy will stick his head up and say whoopsie when you punch a guy in the balls. That's not a serious game. I'm sorry. That it's way too gritty. 2018 or the 1998 version is a perfect movie. We can watch it right now. Do you guys want to stop recording and watch?
Not really.
Oh, that's a shame.
We need to talk about the drug references.
Chris Pratt is going to be Mario. Okay, so before we get into the... I know.
Well, he already knows how to play with dinosaurs, so it would work.
By the way, if Blue is Yoshi, better movie.
Jesus fucking Christ. No.
My daughter loves Jurassic World, and... We're doing anything to not talk about this film. Jeremy, would you, or Matt, you want to give the plot synopsis? Just a synopsis.
Okay. The Scooby Gang broke up after everyone got sick of Fred being a narcissist. But now they're called back together in a very contrived way to investigate mysterious goings-on at a tropical island security park. Tropical island scary spooky park.
I think it's literally called Spooky Island.
Yeah, it's like Six Flags across a Jurassic Park.
Is there a more placeholder name that you've ever heard than Spooky Park?
I mean, I think that works perfectly for it.
Oh, sure.
And Mr. Bean is in this one.
Rowan Atkinson plays the head of the reclusive millionaire, if you will. They use a lot of Day of the Dead imagery here, a lot of Haitian voodoo imagery here. I want the crystal skull disco ball that keeps showing the Deus Ex.
The Deus Ex disco.
But we're one crystal skull away from Dan Aykroyd showing up. Sorry, continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, and hijinks, jinkies in shoe. And they also kind of make fun of the original premise a bit.
Okay, so first, I'm going to get to Matt what he just said. It's a great segue. There's an original script by James Gunn. He still gets the writing credit, for those of you who don't know James Gunn. He did the most recent Suicide Squad.
And Guardians of the Galaxy.
The first two Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And he's coming back for the third one, which is not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote an R-rated movie where Velma was a lesbian. They were literally smoking weed the whole time. Fred and Fred and Daphne hook up, break up. Like, there's an actual love triangle thingy going on. And apparently it was super R-rated. And they came back and said, what the hell is this? This is supposed to be the kids' movie of the summer. You're fired. They brought someone else in to write the script, and it was terrible. And so they asked Gunn to come back to make a hybrid version of the two scripts.
That's never a
good
sign. That
was more PG. That's why this movie feels so sloppy. But yeah, they make allusions to everything, including whether or not Velma's interested in dudes. But the second that is thought about for more than 4 seconds... a guy shows up and starts hitting on her that looks like Ben Whishaw from the Bond movies.
There's like a love triangle bit almost, because I think Velma for a bit seems into Fred, but Fred seems more into Daphne, but then Fred also is trying to compliment Velma in a way that's really insulting. I get turned on by dorky chicks too. He's a narcissist.
No, he's an egomaniac. He wants everyone to like him because he's the greatest thing that's ever happened. We should talk about this cast. Up on top is Matthew Lillard, who is fantastic.
Yes. Yep.
He looks the part, he sounds the part, and considering that this is Hanna-Barbera animation where there's maybe 3 frames a second, he gets the mannerisms down perfectly. And it's the, hey, Scoob, do you wanna...
Scoob, wanna go smoke some weed?
Well, but they don't do that here. They should. They don't. They very, very specifically don't. In fact, we get a weed joke very early on where there's the mystery machine, there's pillows of smoke coming out, and I don't know...
And Pass the Dutchie is playing.
Yeah. And they're grilling...
Eggplant burgers,
which he puts chocolate syrup on, which is a joke from the show, that he loves disgusting food and he's a vegetarian, right? Like, that's there. But what I want is the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back joke where they're just in the car getting stoned to hell, and like Scooby starts talking because they are stoned. Which we never get to. We never get there. But the hot blonde does eventually convince Scooby that she's okay. So I guess we're all there.
Yeah, they have love interests that aren't each other in this movie. Like, I've had
And of course, Isla Fisher's character is named Mary Jane.
Of course she is. Yeah. Because someone saw Spider-Man once, and they thought that was clever then, too. Mm. Is this worse than Club Dread?
having not actually seen Club Dread, I can't comment intelligently.
This is worse than Club Dread.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Club Dread has the human Pac-Man maze scene.
Which is, that is special.
Yeah.
That might be a horror movie I should crack out this year. I haven't seen it in 20 years.
It's not great.
I never even watched it. I got it from you for your birthday. Yeah. I never watched it myself.
It's Broken Lizard's second movie. Yeah, second movie. Mm-hmm. Then Beer Fest is their third. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we should start at the very beginning. There is a rejected Batman villain that's like a haunted. He's a jester. He's a black and white jester character, flying through a toy factory,
carrying off Daphne, and apparently getting a little touchy.
Well, the whole thing is that she's the damsel in distress. She's always the damsel in distress. She hates it. And so eventually she learns kung fu from what I assume is some sort of con artist, because her kung fu is terrible, and
it definitely has the feel of the Charlie's Angels movie that came out like a year before it, where they're doing, you know, the Matrix Crouching Tiger Wuxia moves.
Yeah, she fights a luchador in this movie, and it's great.
With choppy chops. Mm-hmm. By the way, Charlie's Angels is a stay tune. The second one is a stay tune and a half. That movie is one of the worst things I've ever seen. The first one is fine. Apparently the early 2000s is a wasteland for movies.
Yeah.
But that one's I guess it's that the Addams Family and Mission Impossible worked. So let's just buy up any TV property we can and make it into a movie, which is kind of what Scooby-Doo is. It fits right nestling in there next to the Beverly Hillbillies and Charlie's Angels 2, Fully Loaded, I think.
And Sergeant Bilko.
Sergeant Bilko needs to be a stay
Sergeant
tuned.
Sergeant Bilko is one that I own, thank you very much. Steve Martin as Sergeant Bilko, that was just choice. And it's funny because for every one of those shitty remakes, there's a pretty good one. Like, The Fugitive, pretty damn good. Ocean's 11, pretty damn good. But then you're just like, and Sergeant Bilko is a great choice. Just like, this is all wrong. Or McHale's Navy is a TV show, too. That's atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Arnold?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always confuse it with the one starring Kelsey Grammer.
Down Periscope.
So, they set up a trap, and as always, if you've ever seen the show, the trap goes wrong, but somehow they catch the ghost anyway. It's old man Jenkins.
Janitor who's perving on the factory owner.
Who's played by Pamela Anderson.
For some reason.
She had to be in movies. When she showed up, I nearly dropped my drink. I was like, what the fresh hell is... And she's driving the mystery machine, which I thought was going to be a Velma gadget that it was self-driving now, which would have made more sense than Pamela Anderson coming out and saying, my toy factory, oh my gosh, it's the horny janitor, I guess. And he goes, I'm in love with you, Pamela. Take me away. and then it keeps going.
And he's designed like this suit he's wearing under the ghost costume that can make him fly.
Yeah, and they do the whole breakdown, and it's the end of the episode. And that is when it stops being Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
Follow me on this. Because the whole thing about Scooby-Doo, which Matt and I and Jeremy were talking about off mic, was that none of this is real. These are all hoaxers that are trying to... It generally involves real estate or some sort of financial gain, but none of it is real. The rest of this movie literally has an ancient object that steals souls from people.
It looks like the configuration from Hellraiser.
Well, a cube was taken, so we've got a pyramid here, so we're legally in the clear. Also, for a Clive Barker movie, there's not enough LGBT stuff.
And bad CGI purple demon things.
But again, then there's actual magic and demons. So then it's no longer Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, they didn't bring in real supernatural stuff to Scooby-Doo until later on, probably because they're so sick of it being a real estate scam every week. So it would be better if they had another con artist for this one and then save the actual monsters for later.
Well, and that's why, the second movie is that. It's Monsters Unleashed and all these costume dudes show up. Terrible movie. Don't trust me, don't watch it. But the thing about this one is, it's just really bizarre, man.
I'm not going to give away the big reveal just yet, but how did the villain actually get hold of demons?
We don't know. Literally nothing is explained in this movie other than at one point we're introduced to him early on. Like a Scooby-Doo movie, that's exactly right. You introduce him at the end of the first act, and then for two acts we pretend he doesn't exist. There are 36,000 Scooby-Doo shows on the air, and I will plug just one, which is recent. 2015 to 2018's Be Cool Scooby-Doo is actually just straight-up comedy. It's very funny. I'd recommend it. It was on Cartoon Network for a while. I think I bought the whole package for $7 on Vudu. It's good. The problem is, to your point, Be Cool Scooby-Doo, or Scooby-Doo Mysteries Incorporated, it's all about a secret mystery that exists under the town Coolsville that they're from. And I'm sorry, the second your town is called Coolsville, there's no grim and gritty. Like, you can't be hunting an ancient mystery with a talking owl. Spoilers, there's a talking owl in the fucking show. I'm more comfortable with a pup named Scooby-Doo, by the by. Where there's literally a character called Red Herring.
Yeah, I remember that.
The only thing that could pull me away from Simpsons reruns was an Irish kid named Red Herring, freckles and all. You good?
Better name than Red Skelton.
It is. And who's it? So they have a very public breakup where Fred keeps taking credit for everything that Velma does. And so they have a falling out. We then smash cut to a bunch of stoners on the beach where...
Yeah, he's living in a van down by the river, by the beach.
I mean, which is, frankly, where we should just always see Shaggy, yeah. Right? Like, he's not going to hold down a job. He's not going to be wealthy. He's going to be a dude who's grilling out by the beach and just complaining about the quality of his poke bowl. Like, that's it.
And he and his dog both smoking enormous amounts of weed.
And, like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's the joke, and that's fine. And then a dude shows up bearing a, you know, an envelope. He's a messenger. And they are... pretending that, like, we don't do spooky anymore, we're not interested. They try to sneak out the back door, and the guy's there to hand them the envelope.
And he first offers them lots of money, which they don't want, and eventually, after various bribes later, unlimited food.
And they agree to go to Spooky Island, the aforementioned Spooky Island. On the way to the airport, they run into literally the rest of the cast.
Yeah, it doesn't even bother to show what they were doing, like, in their free time alone.
I think that was part of the original script they didn't include. Like, you'd see, I guess, Daphne taking karate, or and Velma, like, working for NASA, which I think was in one of the original cartoons, which she left the group to go become a rocket scientist.
But, I mean, the thing about that all is, which, I mean, you're right, it's, you know, sight unseen, it's kind of mystery, they show up. It keeps the movie a little bit tight, at least. They don't like each other. They should be more surprised to see each other. There's no emotion here other than Freddie Prinze has a better haircut. We should talk about the other characters. Freddie Prinze Jr.
Sucks.
Playing Fred, and he's... Mm-hmm. I mean, Matt's aside is right. He's terrible. We have Sarah Michelle Gellar playing Daphne.
She's cool.
She's fine.
She's indifferent. She doesn't add much to the role, but she's not detrimental. The weird thing to me is her and Freddie Prinze Jr. were literally dating at the time, and they have no chemistry. Whatsoever. Then finally, I just blanked.
Lisa Cardinelli.
Linda Cardellini. Linda Cardinelli.
Okay, I was close.
Who is playing Velma, and she's really good at it.
Yeah.
They give her nothing to do, and her script is quite possibly the worst. Because she, at one point, she complains she doesn't have a nickname, and they decide to call her the Velmster, and they introduce her on whatever fake Coolsville News Network nonsense interview show. CNN kind of thing. She goes, Fred goes, let me let the Velmster tell you what's going on. And the fact that they still did the interview is just shocking. If I'm introduced as the Velmster, or the Hofster, they turn the cameras on. I'm telling you, it just stops happening. Anyway, so they get on their Hawaiian Air flight.
Meanwhile, Scooby is in drag, pretending to be someone's grandmother.
Presumably Shaggy's grandmother. Because they don't allow dogs up above. Which, I'm sorry, man. Like, yeah, I get it. Occasionally Scooby dressed like a human being to one degree or another. But what would have been really funny instead is if the joke was he does go down into, like, the luggage bin, but, like, it's a dog spa. Because there's no real jokes here. He just pretends to be a dog, the hot blonde who's going to matter later shows up, looks kind of like Blake Lively, and she's allergic to dogs. That's the joke. She's sneezing at the grandmother because she's allergic to dogs. All right.
And Shaggy, meanwhile, is trying to get his freak on, so he's like, Grandma, go hang out with Fred and Velma.
I mean, let's be clear. Shaggy has never been laid before, so he's trying, man. By the way, the woman's name is... oh, it's Ilsa Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
You might know her from a movie that, which now I'm an idiot. Netflix,
Wedding Crashers.
Netflix recommended me to watch next, which is The Wedding Crashers, which is a really bizarre movie. In the Me Too movement, there's a reason it hasn't had a comeback, because it's just like, let's trick emotionally charged women into having sex with us. Signed, the movie. But yeah, she shows up in a lot of stuff. She's fine in this. They don't give her a lot to do other than look good. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I can't just look at it. Other than she's in that pretty good Great Gatsby movie.
Was that pretty good, Nick?
I like it better than the Robert Redford one.
Well, that's... a low bar to clear.
Are you not a Baz Luhrmann guy?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
I made it 10 minutes through Romeo and Juliet.
Sorry, Romeo plus Juliet. It's a math problem.
Fuck off.
I kind of liked Moulin Rouge.
I hated that. Hated it.
First of all, I 100% believe you. Yeah. I do.
I mean, my thought upon... you know, watching Moulin Rouge is, you know, I liked the soundtrack better 10 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. Especially when he inculcates himself into the group by singing The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music. You're just like, wow. And don't they do a singing, like a choral version of Smells Like Teen
Spirit?
Yeah,
sung by rich old white guys in suits, and I wanted to leave right then and there.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. At least Great Gatsby has an R&B soundtrack that is original to the movie.
Yeah.
It's not a jukebox musical, which that hurt me to physically say, actually. So I, at one point, one month, we're going to just have to strap Jeremy down and do a Baz Luhrmann month, I guess.
Fuck.
Although we have done already Romeo plus Juliet.
Like, ironically, the two movies of his I haven't seen are Australia and Strictly Ballroom, which seem the least Baz Luhrmann movies.
Australia might be interesting.
I've never
it's
seen
got
it.
It's got Wolverine. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I think I might have seen the bombing of
no
Darwin
one did.
Clip on YouTube.
No, I know it was a complete bomb, but...
Yeah.
It's
I like...
Huge Jackman and
Nicole Kidman.
And they're trying to drive a herd of cattle through Australia during World War II, and it ends with the bombing of Darwin by the Japanese.
And that sounds like the least Baz Luhrmann movie ever.
Do the cows sing at any point? I mean, that would... Oh, and it's 3 hours long.
That's a problem.
No.
Baz Luhrmann, Scooby-Doo. I mean, they do have enough stupid pop music in this.
Sugar Rails arrive, rut-row.
Strictly Ballroom. Gosh. Anyway, so we finally get to this island after Scooby-Doo's costume falls apart because someone just brings a cat, not in a cage, just on the.
Plane. And they start. The animals start rampaging around, and meanwhile Shaggy's like, "Grandma, don't eat the cat."
And then the scene ends.
Then it ends.
Yeah.
There's no consequence to any of this, so
nope.
Why should we bother? They eventually do land at Spooky Island, at which point a robot, or a talking tiki thing guy, tells them, "Oh, thank God you're here, we have trouble. Let's go to the observatory," or whatever.
By talking tiki thing, you mean Mr. Bean?
Well, but he's in a costume. He doesn't reveal himself as Mr. Bean at first.
Oh.
So Rowan Atkinson is in this as... I don't even know the character's name.
I mean, that's actually a joke in the movie.
Yes, it is.
Montevidarius.
Montevidarius, yeah. Montevidarius, who no one has ever seen before, for some reason. He's a reclusive billionaire who made a Skull Island. So far, everything we describe, I realize it sounds like the Fyre Festival documentary. It's not, but it almost is.
Yeah, Mr. Bean presides over a scary theme park full of good-looking young college students.
Yes, and they make it very clear that these are college kids. the college students come all rambunctious and they leave like this, and they're all orderly and not we are introduced to a babe who's like and this dude walks up and goes, hey, Jenna, and she throws him through a wall, and everyone's like, my goodness, he has superhuman strength now, which never comes back, really.
We're good?
Yeah, so far, so tolerable.
So far, so tolerable. They get to the island, and now everyone's kind of milling around. They decide to look for clues to figure out what's going on. They split up gang.
Yeah.
We get the split up gang, and everyone's bickering with each other still.
Ramburgers!
Yeah, so we get to a bar, and the bartender gets a phone call for a Mr. Do. And he goes, Nelson Do? No, Scooby Doo.
Yeah, it's not Bart prank calling them.
But the Nelson Do thing is pretty funny. I appreciate that. Scooby Doo wanders off into the woods. Shaggy is trying to score for the first time, presumably ever. And with Mary Jane, which I'm sure Peter Gunn thought was fucking hilarious.
And then meanwhile, Daphne finds a voodoo guy who tries to tell her not to go to the castle, but she thinks, well, maybe you're trying to get me to go to the castle. But then you say, well, maybe I know that you don't want me to go to the castle, so you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, this movie has a weird race thing where the only minorities we see are in, like, voodoo makeup. We have Miguel Nunez, who plays the voodoo maestro, and we have Steven Grimes, who plays Negu Tuanda.
The luchador?
No, the dude with the piercing through his nose, the bald guy, who's like the master of ceremonies at the actual like ritual, the welcome ritual thing.
Yeah, because there's the voodoo guy living on the beach, there's the master of ceremonies, and there's the luchador.
Yeah, again, so all the minorities are bad guys who are, like, wearing weird ethnic makeup things.
Well, the voodoo guy is their ally, just weird.
And he's sacrificing a dead rotisserie chicken.
That was hilarious.
It's funny, it's just weird, man. Like, there can't be another black kid in the entire movie. Anyway... The first night happens, and there's, you know, they lure Scooby-Doo off into the distance, and shenanigans ensue, where he, of course, doesn't get captured yet, because he's Scooby-Doo, man.
But he ruins Shaggy's putting the moves.
Yeah, he's trying to pick up a lady friend, it doesn't work out, and he's mad at Scooby, so of course, we have the almost end of second act breakup between the two best friends.
You're ripped! And they get into a fist fight.
Well, that comes later. Comes much later. This movie, for 90 minutes, has a lot that happens, actually.
Yeah, meanwhile, Daphne infiltrates the spooky castle, and then it turns out they all are infiltrating the spooky castle at the same time on their own.
That's right. And while they're wandering around, they're being chased by, turns out eventually everyone, Zarkos, the luchador, and at one point, at the middle of this big round room, Shaggy finds this weird pyramid thing.
It looks like the Hellraiser Lament configuration, but to avoid copyright problems, it's a pyramid.
Yeah, and they call it the demon Ratus or something like that. At this point, they're all nearly being kidnapped. The ghosts show up and actually do kidnap Fred and Velma, right? And so smash cut to the next morning after Shaggy has been presumably hiding with the girl because at one point, God, this movie's very confusing. They're being chased by all the bad guys with this pyramid. And
Shaggy and Scooby end up in sausage bondage.
What?
They get lured into like a room full of plastic sausage. They try to eat and end up getting tied up.
Well, my daughter was watching this with me, and she goes, are they at the Haunted Mansion? Because that's what this feels like. It feels like a Disney animatronic nonsense. And turns out what's going on is these just henchmen are showing up and chasing them. They call the Coast Guard, which apparently are possessed as well, which we'll get to. But they essentially go to the beach all night to sleep on the beach to try to wait for the Coast Guard to show up. At this point, it's just Shaggy, Scooby, Velma, and Mary Jane. But when they wake up, right, this Coast Guard never showed up, and Sugar Ray is playing on the beach for some reason. And everyone is talking like bros. We get a little bit of that in the video. There's a training video montage thing that tells them how to talk like bros. But then, I literally think Freddie Prinze has the line, "Hey, Brosif," and I wanted to turn it off so bad.
I haven't heard Brosif in years.
Oh, Brosif, Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
Yeah, because at some point, a bunch of demons invade the restaurant, badly computer-generated demons, and send everyone stampeding, and that's when Fred and Daphne get kidnapped.
Yeah.
They have a really forced, "Scooby-Doo, where are you?"
Which line. I say like six times in this movie.
Yeah, when they try and be creative and do something different from the show, it's actually more entertaining, like Daphne learning karate, but they try all these really forced callbacks, like shoving in, "Scooby-Doo, where are you?" into the dialogue. It's just...
Well, I mean, but the other thing that you mentioned specifically in this, we need to talk now about the CGI.
Yes.
Shaggy and Scooby, God bless Matthew Lillard, man, because he is acting against nothing this entire movie. And Scooby, I think, is like this... We've now done the gamut. The first completely CGI-rendered character that wasn't in an animated movie was in the Flintstones. It was the cat that jumped back through the window at the very last scene of the movie. Mm-hmm. I think Scooby is the first animated main character with computer animation that is the entire length of the movie.
And it's hideous.
It's terrible.
It is so bad.
I mean, maybe they made the demons worse by comparison, but...
The demons are terrible.
Yeah.
The demons are shockingly bad. They look like... I don't even know what.
Like PlayStation 1?
Villain, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they look like someone that you'd come across in, like, a spooky, like, Nintendo game, right? Like, this is something that was at Luigi's Mansion. Like, that's what we're talking about. And they're supposed to be the big bads, pretty much, of the movie until the end. But yeah, so Fred and Velma have been brainwashed. Somewhere around here, Velma gets good and drunk at a bar and starts hitting on a dude, and the dude's like... asking her about stories, and we get this story about Scrappy-Doo. Scrappy-Doo, who they apparently abandoned in, like, I don't know, Monument Valley? Like, in the desert somewhere in the American Southwest for demanding that he's going to take over the bar.
And pissing on Daphne.
Which apparently is something he's done before, because they're like, again? And I'm just like, whoa.
Well, they are hippies, you never know.
He's claiming her. Is what they say, too. Which is a choice. This movie made a choice to make urine play part of their movie. Gross. It's all gross. Essentially, the demons appear at the bar, and now they're chasing our final three. Well, final four. Scooby, who has been kind of neglected and left. Shaggy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jane and Velma. At this point, they're running around. And they fall through the floor and end up in this secret portal room thing where we see a bunch of heads floating around in protoplasm.
Yeah. Which leads to the body switching sequence, because these are all the people's stolen souls.
Oh, God.
I thought the body switching sequence was pretty funny.
They don't play it up enough. That could have been, like, a whole sequence.
Well, they have an anorexia joke. Like, Daphne, why don't you eat?
Well, I mean... You heard from the worst joke in it, man. Yeah. You shouldn't make fun of mental illness. But second, it's a 30-second sequence.
Yeah.
What would have been funny is if the monster shows up, and then they have to run and be in these different bodies. Like, that's much funnier... When Velma's complaining to have to run on four legs because she's now Scooby, right? Like, mm-hmm. Shaggy doesn't know how to run with boobs or something. Or in heels. Whatever. Make jokes. You do it. Which makes me think, again, in the gun version, like, there was probably, like, a joke, like, we can only switch back if we kiss each other, right? And so Matthew Lillard totally would have gone in for Freddie Prinze. Freddie Prinze said, absolutely not. Like, that's the way that joke goes.
And meanwhile, Fred is in Daphne's body. He's like, I can look at myself naked.
Which, by the way, if you were dating, you've seen her naked. I would assume. I'd assume. I would just assume. It. This whole thing is played for jokes for about 45 seconds. We should also mention that what Shaggy's doing is horrifying. There's this pit of sperm, like, swimming in a circle, and it has the head, like we're watching the sequel to The Mask, Son of the Mask, right? And he's plucking him out, and the first person he grabs is Velma. And he sees her face. She talks to him in this kind of weird, shaky, like he's twitching and holding a live fish. Throws her up in the air. She flies away. Fred is next. He grabs it. Fred thanks and throws it away. Daphne wants to get out on her own, and he throws it anyway. But in between, he nearly saves someone else's life. And he goes, sorry, man, I'm looking for my friends. And he puts that guy back in the torment, like the hell he's in. And you're like, no, man, just dump them all over. Free all of these people. But nah, he leaves that guy to rot, or whatever happens to these souls. We don't know.
Well, and by the way, they're still there later in the movie.
There wouldn't have been a climax had he done that, because fair. Screenwriting.
Did someone say climax?
I will also say, too, the word ectoplasm should never come out in these movies, because they don't believe in ghosts. Like, that's the whole thing, man. Zoinks. But anyway, to Matt's point, at this point, Velma figures it out, because she's Velma and she's smart. They also figure out that when the soul re-enters the body, a demon pops out, right? And the demon cannot be in sunlight, at least outside the human body.
Mm-hmm. SPF 1 million.
Another stupid line they give that poor woman to say. Then Fred, because he's the idiot of the group, cannot steer the fucking head. And so it ends up entering Daphne's body. The whole rest of the scene is his fault, effectively. But Scooby re-grabbed the pyramid, so he can switch souls all he wants, which leads to essentially a Three Stooges bit, for lack of a better way to put it, right? We also get at this point that Mary Jane is evil, somewhere around here.
Yeah, because at some point they're driving on four-wheelers being chased by demon-possessed college kids. And at some point, Mary Jane is so discombobulated that it's revealed she's possessed.
And the band Sugar Ray at this point, which jumps onto a roof holding their guitars still, because as you would.
And so Scooby starts acting not irrationally, but extremely aggressive toward Mary Jane. And Scooby and Shaggy proceed to get in a fist fight because Scooby said Shaggy was whipped. Or ripped, or however he said it.
Which is a lot of stupid. But first and foremost, that's the kind of thing that would happen with a creature who couldn't talk. But appropriately enough, Scooby actually can fucking talk. So you know what's not a problem? Communication with the dog. I'm sorry, it's so stupid. And by the way, I mean, I get it, Shaggy's desperate, but this is pretty bad. Because
you're demon-possessed? I don't care.
That's right.
I'll bone the devil.
The scene essentially is they're on the back of these dude buggies and a fucking branch of brains are, and the mask doesn't fit for a second, and she can, and then it fits back again, and she smiles with green eyes at Scooby. We also have to mention the sardine like breath that comes out, the
yeah, the possessed people or demons can knock people out with green breath.
Question mark.
And at one point, Shaggy actually gets stoned off it.
Yeah, he gives kind of a very smug, self-satisfied face, and everyone laughs again. Look, I'm making fun here. The comedy pacing is terrible, but Matthew Lillard is consistently really good in this movie.
He ended up playing Shaggy in like the voice and animated stuff later.
And, I mean, there is a sequel to this movie, which maybe if we're desperate, we'll get to. But Matthew Lillard nails it, so I have no criticism of him whatsoever. Just to advance the plot, just to skosh here. The whole thing is pivoting on the fact that Mudvarius is the bad guy. I mean, like, early on, they said there's three possible villains. Everyone we've met that's not a kid. Every character that has a name that's not one of us. We've eliminated two of them. So Mondavarius must be the bad guy. And then he shows up in like this like cloak that has a hood, like he's fucking Dracula. Turns out that he is stealing the souls. There's a whole ritual, but we need a pure soul. So we need Scooby-Doo. I don't know why he's the one pure soul here, but...
Well, he's an animal. Animals cannot sin.
Great. You couldn't find any other animal on the planet.
Good point.
Turns out there's a reason, though, we'll get to.
Yeah, he could have just gone to an animal shelter.
Could have grabbed one of the fucking toucans we see in this movie. Right?
Yeah, just go to the Haitian guy, get a chicken.
Or just find some real... just Colonel Sanders gets reincarnated. Just get one of the desperate losers who goes to a place called Spooky Island to get laid. And I'm sure they're virgins. You're fine. But in the middle of the ceremony, Shaggy accidentally knocks out a guy. So he puts on the costume.
He's doing the jazzercise and accidentally beats up a dude who's like twice his size.
Yeah. So he's one of the people carrying in...
Scooby.
On like this like...
A palanquin. Stone.
Yeah.
The thing you carry someone in is called a palanquin, I think.
Yeah.
You got the word. Just, yeah.
And they're doing a... They begin the ceremony with basically a demonic Macarena number.
God help me. And they're all doing it in tune, and Fred and Velma are faking the funk because they don't know what's going on. Daphne in her bell bottoms is trying to belay down somewhere, and Shaggy and Scooby are arguing over what a sacrifice is, a sacrifice. And eventually he's like, "Buddy, I'm sorry I freaked out there, man, but you gotta trust me on this one. Being a sacrifice isn't a good thing." Okay, Raggy.
Holy shit, you can do that.
Yeah. And so, turns out, brace yourself. They tear the face off Mondavarius, and he's a robot. And inside is Scrappy-Doo, because God help us, Peter Gunn got it. Everyone fucking hates Scrappy-Doo. Yeah?
Yeah, I'll give the movie that credit. Scrappy is the fucking worst.
He is! I mean, and I know it's Gen X / millennial sarcasm, like no one can be blah, 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 blah. No, Scrappy's the worst. He's the worst. Yeah. They never should have had him. You know what? If the Harlem Globetrotters were at that tiki bar, go all the way. Make it all stupid.
They do have a reference to the episode of the Meet Don Knotts, because yep. Shaggy is chewing out Scooby. This is worse than the time you cleaned your beans at Don Knotts' party.
Dude, talking about Doc licking his balls is a lot for a PG movie. But yeah, I mean, like, so it's Scrappy, and Scrappy is... filled with puppy power or whatever nonsense. And then the part of the pyramid is on his chest. And he starts to suck the souls into his body like he's fucking Jim Carrey in Batman Forever. And it is...
And he roids out about the size of a bus.
And then you just realize that the rest of this movie is CGI nonsense. Because it's just CGI nonsense. You're not looking at anything. Fred and Velma... like, run to one side, and Daphne and Scooby end up, or Shaggy run the other direction. And
meanwhile, Daphne fights a luchador.
Well, yeah, they get to the roof, we'll get there. But I'm just, when Scrappy is first hulking out, everything else in the scene is suddenly replaced with nonsense. And so it's just Matthew Lillard diving, and just green screen, nothing. Like, nothing reflects light in this. It just looks like you're flying like a Doom 3 level. It's really bad. It's really something. Now, Matt, talk about your favorite scene.
Okay, so meanwhile, the plan is to get the disco ball down an air vent into the sacrificial chamber to reflect sunlight to burn all the demons out of everyone.
Right.
But Daphne's supposed to open the vent, and she gets attacked by a luchador.
I mean, gotta love a kid's movie that takes reference from Dusk Till Dawn.
That's right, exactly, 100%.
And Daphne, meanwhile, was talking about how she's been taking karate for years, so she doesn't get kidnapped anymore. She proceeds to fight the luchador for like 5 minutes.
And he's punching her a lot. It's kind of uncomfortable for a bit of this. But eventually she gets the upper hand, and who is it? It's Mary Jane. Someone is struggling to open the grates. Maybe Velma?
Yeah, well, I know Daphne is having problems pushing the lever to open open the vent.
So she punches the luchador, and he falls through the vent, cracking it open, hitting the skull. And it really does look like a Day of the Dead sugar skull with, like, spikety bits. It's cool. That's the one prop I'd want from this movie. It's definitely not Mr. Bean's jacket, which is...
If you really want, I'm sure it may be for sale on eBay somewhere.
2002. barfed all over Mondaberry's character. He's wearing a graphic tee, and under, like, over that is an unbuttoned men's work shirt, and then over that is like a pleather jacket. It is so much. And this movie has Sugar Ray. Like, I'm telling you, man, this is more 2000s than Shrek is, and Shrek is pretty 2000.
Yeah, it felt so dated.
It does. Right down to, again, the cynical kind of Gen X view of Scooby-Doo. But that's kind of the best part, so I'm not going to complain about it. Also, Matthew Lillard. God bless that man. Anyway, so then Scrappy and all the demons essentially evaporate, except for Scrappy, who ends up returning to his normal size.
And Scooby punches him out.
Which he should. Fucking little dog.
He's apparently an adult dog with a glandular disorder. He's not a puppy.
I do also want to know that fucking, like, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas-esque scene that leaves him on the side of the road. Like, there's just something so, like, let's abandon him in the desert with a tiny suitcase that just seems like, I don't know, a mixture of the Hulk, but funny. Like, I don't know, it's incredible, this idea. Regardless. The last thing we see is he's in a dog, like a carrier, that he's being thrown in the back of a Coast Guard helicopter presumably he's going to justice with like every other character who had a name in this movie other than Mary Jane. Right? Like,
yeah, cut to him in jail, in a human jail playing a harmonica.
Right. And he's going to be the toughest little puppy in the whole place. And you're just like, God help us all. I mean, this is essentially an episode of Harvey Birdman. I don't know how else to explain it. It just, without the joy. Yeah, I mean, and Shaggy knocks over the pitcher, the cauldron of souls, so everyone's back to normal. Presumably around the world, because the whole thing is that they were training people to get on planes to, which, by the way, a movie in 2002 where you're brainwashing people and putting them on airplanes. It's a strong choice from the makers of Scooby-Doo. But people have left this island at this point. So presumably there's these soulless zombie people, like, back home. I guess. I don't know. We don't get any of this information. It just wraps up. At which point, Freddie Prinze is like, I'm going to let the Velmster talk about this one.
Yeah, he had a character arc.
So he is a complete character in this.
He learns not to be such a narcissist.
And Velma puts on, like, a shirt instead of a sweater, so there's her arc.
Yeah, her arc is showing cleavage halfway through this.
I mean, it's a great arc. Come on.
I mean, Linda Cardellini standing, like, in profile as the sunlight comes up, I'm just like, well, I don't know who this is for, but I'm okay with it.
And some sort of love triangle between her, Fred, and this guy at the bar. He's like, you make my glasses steam.
I'm going to argue with you. I don't think it's a love triangle. I think Fred's only way of showing affection is hitting on people. Like, I'm sure he's like, hey, Shaggy, looking good, buddy. Like, that, because that's the only level his character, he's dumb as a post in this. And I'm not saying that you gotta make Fred the hero every time, but the idea, I would hope, eventually, is that they're all just functional members of the group, that they all add something. Because for this, it just seems like the only person who matters at all is Velma. And then Shaggy's got dumb luck, Fred is a meathead, and Daphne is bait. That's it. Which is not how the show works at all. They're a team, man. And that's the one thing that they do right in the movie Scoob, which I guess we'll get to one day. When this episode should have come out is when Scoob came out. But that was in the pandemic, damn it. We had other things on our mind. Like gaining weight from eating, like snacky cakes.
So,
not my way.
So.
Matthew Quinn. Matthew, excuse me, W. Quinn. Would you recommend this movie?
No. There are some bits that are really funny, but yeah. Most of the movie is just so dumb. And way too many really forced attempts to mimic the cartoon. And okay. Don't bother.
Jeremy?
No. I mean, it's exactly what I expected. Matthew Lillard makes a great Shaggy. Linda Cardellini is a pretty good Velma. There's some of that James Gunn humor, but overall it's just a kid's movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with Jeremy, other than I'd say this is the perfect movie to just have on in the background. I for me, just worth seeing, because I like the Scooby-Doo property. Everything about it, it gets, I mean, again, other than that Scrappy's terrible, it gets kind of wrong. But Matthew Lillard is the closest to a living Shaggy we're ever going
to
get.
To quote the kids these days, he understood the assignment.
He did. And damn it, he prepared. And I don't know who else. And Linda Cardellini's great in pretty much everything she does, so she's going to do it. But when she says get jiggy with it, I couldn't. I nearly lost consciousness for a minute there. But yeah, I mean, this is an inoffensive enough movie that I'm not going to necessarily recommend it, but there's worse uses of your time. I think it's better than that Scoob movie, but honestly, Be Cool Scooby-Doo. It's right where you want to be. It's very funny, and the original stuff is out there. I think I bought them all on a DVD for like $7. At least they let James Gunn have a soundtrack. Like, the Guardians movies, Suicide Squad has a soundtrack. If this had, like, it would have been awful, but a bunch of remixed 60s songs at least would have felt right. But, like, when they're running away at all those fucking shows, there's some, like, folk singer singing nonsense. Like, get Andrew Bird to do something.
Oh, God.
Anyway, whatever. I'm not going to recommend this movie, but as far as kids' movies made into adult properties, we've done much worse. Stay tuned for Richie Rich. I'm Nick Hoffman. Follow me on Cinephile. And if you haven't subscribed yet, consider subscribing to Required Reading, a podcast I do with a colleague of mine, Mike Burns. We're in the top 500 globally for books, arts and literature specifically. I can't turn this off, but I swear less. And we talk about, like, the Bronte sisters. So it's a little bit different. It's skosh.
The Brontes. Which one was better?
That's right. But this season, we've done graphic novels. We've done Mouse. We've done Beowulf. We've done Lord of the Rings. We've done Fellowship of the Rings, specifically. So stuff to look forward to. Anyway, follow According to Quinn. Jeremy, Matt, thank you for joining us. And we're out.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.